What up, what up, what up? This is your man Dre Day from Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast, and I have a public service announcement for all you listeners out there. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground in 2018, I had so many questions. How do I record an episode? Where do I find background music? How do I get my show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all the other places people like to listen? Also, where do I find advertisers? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and 100% easy to use. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me in the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join. Oh, one thing, you can record your episode from your phone or computer. So again, go to anchor.fm/start to join. And I can't wait to hear your podcast. Gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's Golden Boy, Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 259, episode 259 of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. This episode here, I am going to do some NBA playoff talk, NBA recap, basically. The semifinals wrapped up yesterday, and now the conference finals is on the horizon. I'm going to do a little baseball talk, obviously, with my Yankees. I'm also going to speak on some of the notable games that's going to happen in the NFL this upcoming season. The schedule was announced, and some teams got some interesting games. But, you know, we're going to dive into that a little bit later. Listen, for the people out there that's wondering why I haven't been, you know, dropping, you know, episodes rapidly as I usually do, I would say for the most part that I've pretty much been falling back from podcasting just a tad bit. You know, too much stuff has been going on in the sports world, and I'm just trying to find the perfect timing to basically put everything into an episode. And on top of that, you know, I have a trip that I'm preparing for that I'm actually will be leaving soon. So I've also been, you know, getting ready for that or whatnot. But again, your boy is back before he takes his trip. And here we go. You know what I'm saying? So like I said, the conference finals is now here, but before I get into that, it's only right that I do my recap from the semifinals in the NBA playoffs. I think we could pretty much admit that probably the series that we thought would go seven games would be Milwaukee and Boston. When the Celtics made light work out of Brooklyn and the Bucks made light work out of the Bulls, even though the Bulls did get one win more than Brooklyn, but that's neither here nor there. Something told me that that series was going to be the one to go seven games. And not so by surprise, it did. Salute to the Boston Celtics. They have been probably one of the hottest teams going into the playoffs. And they're keeping that train moving. They swept Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. They now got Giannis out of there. So there will be a new NBA champ this upcoming season. I will say this, though. Now, I know there's going to be some people out there that will have the sympathy card for Giannis because he was undermanned. Let's just call it what it is. In this series, he was short. You know what I'm saying? Chris Middleton was out for the whole series. So his sidekick, you could say, was basically on the sidelines of the whole series supporting the team. Giannis pretty much had to do everything by himself. I mean, let's just keep it tall. This whole series, he basically had to hold the fort down by himself. Jrue Holiday didn't really do much this series, especially on offense. Now, on defense, there was, some plays where he made some key stops or whatnot, but on the offensive side of the ball, he pretty much didn't do much. Everybody else was just basically non-existent in this series, and it was all Giannis. And when you go to Game 7, and listen, that game was a blowout, which is crazy. Both Game 7s were blowouts. When he walked off that court and he just sat on that bench, he just put his head back and just took a breather because he was gassed out. He was tired. You know what I'm saying? Like, he put everything he could into that series. I believe he has set a record for the first player to have, I think 200 points. I think they said 100 rebounds or something like that, 100 assists in a series. I think that's what the stat was. But listen, again, there's going to be a new champ. I'm quite sure Giannis is going to use this as fuel to get ready for next season. And it's funny because I was on an IG Live with my man Miz 100 from Philly on Sunday before the game. And I was like, that how Giannis right now is looking to, become the undisputed best player in the league. And in order for him to do that, he would have to win another championship. Because, not for nothing, a lot of people still question their championship from last year. Everybody is with the whole, if Brooklyn didn't have injuries, Brooklyn would have beat them. Okay, part of me wants to say yeah. But at the end of the day, next man up, you can't make excuses. Milwaukee wanted it and they got it. Some people say Joker's the best player in the league. Some people say KD's the best player in the league. Some people say Giannis is the best player in the league. So either or, it can go either way. But I felt that in order for him to silence all of that talk and become the best player, he would have to basically get another ring. And being that he didn't, for me, the jury is still out. Right now, I really don't know who I would say is the best player in the league. But again, Congrats to the Boston Celtics. Jason Tatum is looking to become a superstar in the making. I'm not going to say he's there yet, but if he gets through Miami, I think it might be time to throw him in that superstar campaign. Because I'm not ready to put him there yet, but he's definitely knocking on the door. He had a good series against the Milwaukee Bucks. Jaylen Brown had a good series. I believe it was a game or two where, you know, he wasn't up snub, but he definitely made up for it the next go round. Marcus Smart, we already know what he's going to do. You know, he's going to be that rough rider on defense. It was a dope series. You know what I'm saying? It was definitely a dope series. Another dope series was the Warriors and the Grizzlies. A lot of physical play. You had two ejections in the series. Draymond Green had got ejected for, I mean, I'll say it, basically yanking Clark by his jersey. Draymond tried to defend his, he basically tried to defend his take on, you know, why he did it or whatnot. But my dude, no, this is the ejection was very much deserving. I believe it was in game one, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that ejection was in game one, a game that the Warriors won. They did lose Gary Payton in the second game from Brooks. Listen, do I think that he meant to hurt him? No. But, you know what I'm saying? Shit happens when you are chasing a player down on a fast break. Shit happens. You know what I'm saying? It's just unfortunate because with the season that Gary Payton II was having, it's like he found a home in Golden State. You know, he was in the G League for all these years trying to find his mark. Found it with Golden State. And then, bam, unfortunately, he winds up getting hurt. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's, you know, hurtful in itself. So definitely want to send well wishes to Gary Payton II. Like I said, this whole series was physical. Very physical. The refs let them play. It kind of looked like the old NBA with this series as far as, you know, the way that they was playing. That's why I enjoyed the series. I'll say this. These Memphis boys is coming. They're coming. Now, even though they lost the series in six games, this was a hard-fought series for the Warriors. Like, Memphis did not make it easy for them at all. They did not make it easy for them. The Warriors were up 3-1. Grizzlies made it 3-2. We get to game six in San Francisco. And before the game even started, I said that if Memphis walks away with this win, they're going to win this series because they're going to go back home in game seven and they're going to close it out. And if you go back and watch that game, they basically controlled the game from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. But, you know, fourth quarter came, Steph Curry got in his bag, Klay Thompson got in his bag, Andrew Wiggins, it was about time he started making some clutch shots because it was very much needed. I think he, you know, made a very much impactful 8 points in that fourth quarter. But the unsung hero was, for me, Looney. You know, crashing all on boards, especially on the offensive side of the ball, keeping possessions alive. he was the unsung MVP in that series. Now, yeah, all the glory and praise is going to go to Steph and Klay, but if Looney wasn't in that game, who knows? That series might have went seven games. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, man, the Memphis Grizzlies, they are going to be a force to be reckoned with in the future. That's only if they can keep this team together, because obviously these young guys, they're young. When contract time comes, they're going to want their money. Will Memphis be able to keep this team, you know, afloat? Morant, Ja Morant, we know he's not going anywhere. They're going to lock him up for sure. You got Jaren Jackson Jr. You got Bane. You got Brooks. I mean, Memphis got a squad. Jones, I think he's found a niche, because I think, you know, from him coming out of Duke and him coming out as early as he did, I felt it was a mistake. I felt he should have stayed a little longer. So he had a lot of growing pains since he came into the league. But I think this season with Memphis, he found his way. So he might have found the home, you know, for a few more years or whatnot. But yeah, man, I think the Memphis Grizzlies is definitely going to be a force in the foreseeable future. Congrats to the Golden State Warriors on making the Western Conference Finals. It was another series, wasn't it? It was another series. Oh, yeah. The Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, going into this series, I definitely had Miami winning the series. And the reason being is because Embiid didn't play the first two games. Remember, he got hurt in, you know, game six against the Raptors. Now, we know why. Because he shouldn't have been in the game to begin with. But, you know, Doc Rivers overcoaching. The game's a blowout, and your star player still in the game winds up getting hurt. So, he's out for the first two games against Miami. Miami did exactly what they were supposed to do. Defend home court, and being that Embiid is not there, rack up these wins. And they did that. The series goes back to Philly. Embiid comes back. They win two games in a row. Even in one of those games, we saw a vintage James Harden performance. And then we get to game five where, you know, Miami goes home, wins that. And then game six, for the second straight year, the Philadelphia 76ers season ends on their home floor with a lackluster performance from Embiid and James Harden. But see, here's the thing. Embiid having a lackluster performance is going to get swept under the rug. And he's going to get the benefit of doubt because we already know he was playing with an injury. So a lot of people is going to cut him some slack for this. James Harden, on the other end, nobody is throwing a sympathy party for him. Nobody's throwing a pity party for him. Because once again, when it's postseason time, he doesn't show up. Because I can count on my fingers how many great games he's had in these playoffs. For me, it was only two games. The closeout game against Toronto, which was game six, and then game four against Miami. Those were the two vintage James Harden performances that everybody wants to see. Every other game, trash. Average at best. You know what I'm saying? So there's no way Maxey should be the second best player on the Sixers in these playoffs. Because not for nothing, that's how it looked.
Maxey was the best player. Well, Embiid was, obviously. Then it became Maxey, and then it became James Harden. Now, Maxey is a stud. And if Philly was smart, they'll lock him up, because eventually, if Philly is going to want to make some moves, that other team is going to want him in that deal. So, if I was Philly, I would try to, you know, do everything I can to, you know, lock him up and keep him there. But, listen, Jimmy Butler, he took the series personal, because we all know, you know, prior to him joining the Miami Heat, he was with the Sixers. And basically the Sixers didn't want him. And he let that be known after the series was over. You know, there was a video that came out where he was walking to the locker room saying, "Tobias Harris over me? Tobias Harris over me?" What he's saying is that they paid Tobias Harris all this money as opposed to keeping Jimmy Butler. Because you can make a case that if Jimmy Buckets would have stayed in Philly along with J.J. Redick, who knows? Philly might, you know, have made noise to the point where Ben Simmons wouldn't even be in the situation he's in now. Who knows? That's a question that'll never be answered, because Philly chose to go with Tobias Harris over Jimmy Buckets. So, yeah, he took this series very personal. Very personal. You know what I'm saying? But, listen, the better team won. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. They saw that Embiid was out. Bam went to work. Oladipo is starting to get back to his old self. Kyle Lowry, I don't know what's going on with him, man. I think maybe he needs to hang it up, because, you know, this hamstring injury is really, really, really taking its toll on him. They already let it be known that he's out for game one for the East Finals. So it's like, damn, this dude, stay out. But it is what it is. And then the last semifinal series, the Phoenix Suns and the Dallas Mavericks. Now, I don't want to dive into the whole series, but there's two things I want to speak about as it pertains to this series. One thing don't even have to do with the game per se. It's more so of the disrespect that family members of a professional athlete continue to receive from fans. I believe it was game four against the Mavericks where Chris Paul's mother was being treated disrespectfully at the game against Dallas, to the point where it was reported that hands were put on her. Now, Chris Paul, my guy, I know you want to put your hands on whoever it was that you thought did it. You ain't try hard enough. Because I'd have told my teammates, get off of me. Let me handle this. Let me get him. Because, and I've said this a few times now, I truly believe another Malice in the Palace needs to happen. Because these fans are just getting too carried away with themselves. Everybody keeps talking about, oh, protect the fans. You know, what about protect the players? Like, these fans could say and do whatever they want, and there's no consequences behind it. Okay, you banned them from the stadium. You took their tickets from them. Whoop-de-doo. Now, this situation that happened with Chris Paul's mother, what did y'all do with him? Banned him from going to games? No. Hands should have been put on him. And then you chose Mother's Day to do it too? Come on now. Come on now. Like, hands had to be put on him ASAP Rocky. You feel me? Like, there's just certain things we don't stand for. And putting your hands on our moms, that's one. Wives, off limits. Kids, definitely off limits. Like those three equations, off limits. So the fact that that fan felt strong enough to do that to Chris Paul's mother, he should have been able to go in that audience, well, go in the stands, and get some licks off. That's just my opinion. Because again, these fans are doing too much. Man, listen, man, your boy yawning. It's 1:50 in the morning and I'm recording this episode for y'all. Talk about hard work and dedication. You know what I mean? But let's get to the last game in this series. Game 7. There was a lot of Game 7s, by the way, yesterday. You had 2 Game 7s in basketball. And I think you had, I want to say, 3 or 4 in hockey. Shout out to the Rangers for advancing to the next round. Y'all beat my man Sid the Kid, but y'all are from New York, so you know. I'm proud of y'all because y'all advanced. I don't think anybody and their mother expected the blowout that the Dallas Mavericks displayed on the Phoenix Suns in the deciding game. Game 7 on your home floor. Now, mind you, I want to say from mid-November to when the season was over, Phoenix was the best team. Best record in the league, 64-18, number one seed. And then the last game of the season, the game that you had to win or go home, and they stink up the joint the way they did. Horrible play. Devin Booker was 3 for 14. Chris Paul 4 for 8. I mean, that's 50%, but still. Couldn't find a 3. Booker was a disappointment. Bridges was a disappointment. Crowder was a disappointment. DeAndre Ayton was definitely a disappointment. Dude only played 17 minutes. And he picked the wrong time to not show up. Because you talking about you want a max contract? Phoenix front office is going to look at this game and say, you ain't no max player. Devin Booker, I tried to warn y'all. Y'all put him on this pedestal. Can he ball? Yes, he can. He got serious game. But a lot of y'all was jumping on that bandwagon when Stephen A. said that he was the next Kobe Bryant. There is no next Kobe. Just like there's no next Jordan. Stop comparing these players to people just because they idolize them. Or just because that respected player loved them so much. You know what I'm saying? Like, stop with that. Let these players be themselves. But see, again, Devin Booker. He suffered that Kardashian-Jenner curse. Because I believe he's dating Kendall, if I'm not mistaken. That whole family is cursed. Okay, her last name ain't Kardashian. Still a Jenner. They're all in the same. So now you suffered the same fate that all these other basketball players that dated one of them girls suffered. Did that affect his game? I don't know. Maybe it did. I don't know. I have no idea, but honestly, I think they missed their opportunity to get to another NBA Finals. I think their window is now officially closed because the West is loaded right now. I just talked about Memphis earlier. You still got the Warriors. The Grizzlies is here. I just think they're a piece away. Maybe they need to go out there and get a veteran with some crazy leadership, and that will definitely help this team get to where it need to be. The Clippers are still in the hunt because Kawhi and Paul George will be 100% next year. They're going to be in the conversation. The Lakers, yes, the Lakers will be in the conversation next year as well. As long as AD can stay healthy and as long as Westbrook can wake up, smell the coffee, because we know LeBron going to do him. And then on top of that, they got to find another coach, so who knows? So I said Warriors. I said Clippers. I said Grizzlies. Oh, Nuggets. Two-time MVP, Jokic. Jamal Murray should be back next year. Michael Porter Jr. should be ready next year. Who knows, man? Utah, I'm not worried about Utah because, like I've said for years, I think I've been saying it for the last 3 years, I don't trust Utah. I don't respect them. They're overrated. And then I forgot Dallas. Listen, man. Luka is special. Very special. I don't know if I'm ready to put him in that top five yet because I'm hearing a lot of people throw him in there. I don't know if I'm ready to put him in there yet, but I will say this. I am happy for him to get to the conference finals because last year, his draft mate, Trae Young, made the conference finals. Those two are going to forever be in sync because they were in the same draft class. Whenever you talk about Trae, somebody's going to mention Luka. When somebody mentions Luka, they're going to mention Trae. It's just the nature of the beast. But I'm definitely happy for the Dallas Mavericks because, listen, even though I picked the Suns to win the series, when the series went seven games, before the game even started, I told my man Miz 100 on the IG Live we had, I said, all Luka got to do is find one or two role players to help him go to work. Because Luka's going to get his. And then it's a deciding game, too. The dude is averaging 35, 36 points a game in elimination games. And then Luka, man, listen. He caught a body. Smirking down the court after he scores. Laughs after he scores, throwing shade at Devin Booker every time. Like, I like this Luka. I like this Luka. And I definitely want to give credit to Jason Kidd. Because let's be real, I don't know what he told them, but they're playing for him. They didn't play for Rick Carlisle. Because they didn't, like, when you think about this team last year, they didn't lose anybody. The same team was assembled. Now, this year, they just made a change with having Jay Kidd there. And Jason Kidd is doing his thing as a head coach. I'm very much impressed. Obviously, this, out of all his stints so far in this league, the Dallas Mavericks was probably his calling. Now, remember, he did get drafted there. So, who knows? Maybe this was his calling to coach the Dallas Mavericks. And look, right now they're in the conference finals. When the season started, I don't think nobody had them going to the conference finals. I don't even think their own fans had them going. And now look where we at. So, definitely salute to the Dallas Mavericks for making the conference finals. Salute to the Golden State Warriors for making the conference finals. And salute to the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. Now, being that I'm not going to do another episode for a few weeks because, again, like I said, I have a trip that I'm getting ready for soon. I figured that episode that I do, I'm going to recap the conference final matchups and then give, you know, my NBA Finals prediction for the two teams that make the big series. So let me give my predictions for these two series. Let's start with the East because that's the series that starts first. They start on Tuesday. right after the draft lottery. I honestly think the Boston Celtics are going to the NBA Finals. I say this series goes either 6 or 7 games. And not for nothing, man. The rivalry with the Heat and Celtics been some shit. I believe they played each other in the bubble, too, in the playoffs. Obviously, Miami won that because they was in the NBA Finals. So, once again, these two teams meet in the conference finals. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics. I say Celtics in 6 or 7. In the Western Conference, we got the Dallas Mavericks and the Golden State Warriors. I got the Warriors. My question is, can the role players for the Mavericks show up like they did against Phoenix, at least for the whole series, as opposed to showing up on the road helping Luka out? Because I said, listen, all Luka got to do is find two players to put in work and put in pain like Heat is. And they will win, and they will win game 7. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. He had a supporting cast, and they was playing no games. So with that being said, I have the Warriors winning this series. I have the Warriors winning it in, I want to say they win it in 5. I say they win their 2 games at home. I say they lose 1 in Dallas. And then they come back to San Francisco and they close it out. That's my prediction. So, that's my NBA talk for you. Now let's get into some NFL talk. Like I said, the schedules are out. I'm not going to dive into it that much, but listen, there was some intriguing games, man. I mean, intriguing schedules. Very intriguing. Let's just start off by saying the NFL was not playing with week one. They was not playing with week one. They was not playing with week one at all. It's like, yo, they with the mindset like, yo, we got to come out swinging for week one. You got the Rams, defending champs, playing the Bills. That's the Thursday primetime game. Potential Super Bowl matchup. Because a lot of people feel that the Bills have leapfrogged over the Chiefs as the best team in the AFC. For me, the jury is still out. I don't know. So you got that game. You got the Raiders and the Chargers. Now, we all remember week 18 last year, how that ended. All they needed was a tie, and both teams would make the playoffs. Raiders went down the field. I believe they kicked the field goal and they won. Because the Chargers just bad clock management. Chose to call a timeout as opposed to just letting the clock roll and you tie the game, leave the game in a tie, both of y'all make the playoffs. So you got that going for you. Tampa Bay and Dallas. That's Sunday Night Football. The second straight year that they will dance on prime time. But this time, it's not in Tampa. It's in Dallas. And then to close it out for week one, Russell Wilson makes his return back to Seattle. I felt that they said, you know what? We want to get this game out the way quick. Forget about having it week four. Forget about having it week eight or nine. Forget about having it at the end of the season. Let's have this game for week one. Because not for nothing, let's be real. Seattle was going to get their ass whooped. Because I forgot what show I was watching. And they was asking the question of whose homecoming is going to mean more. Russell Wilson's return to Seattle or Carson Wentz's return to Philly? For me, it's Carson Wentz's return to Philly because Russell Wilson returning back home to Seattle, for me, that's more of a, okay, thank you for your service here. We're going to throw you a little tribute video. You're going to get your cheers, but yeah, we're going to get our ass whooped. Seahawks ain't got nobody. So we already know Russell Wilson going to put pain on them. But then you get to Philly. Well, you get to the Commanders or Commandos, whatever the hell their name is. Carson Wentz gets to play his former team twice, being that they're in the same division. And trust me, when he makes that return to Philly, them Eagles fans will boo him. They will boo him. They don't care that you almost got them to the Super Bowl. You got hurt. Nick Foles took the ring. Got them the ring. The following year, you get hurt again. Nick Foles leads them to the playoffs. That's the pattern with you. You're injury prone. Philly fans don't care about that. They're about, can you get us a ring or not? And you didn't do that. So I'm quite sure they're ready for you. They're ready to boo you. Trust and believe that. So yeah, for me, I just think that homecoming, for me, is more intriguing than Russell Wilson's return back to Seattle. But yeah, that's just week one. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just week one. These are some of the games for Sunday Night Football. Green Bay and the Bills. That's the day before Halloween. Cowboys and Eagles. That might be the 1-2 punch for the NFC East. Kansas City and Tampa. Rematch from the Super Bowl a few years ago. Oh, listen, I'm gonna speak about that Tampa schedule because they, whew, man, they said, oh yeah, Brady, you coming back? I got something for you. Obviously, we got the rivalry with Green Bay and the Bears, you know. What other intriguing Sunday Night Football game it is? LA versus LA, which is New Year's Day. The Bucks and Cardinals on Christmas. They got some Sunday Night Football games, man. Monday Night Football, let's see what intriguing games they got for that. Like I said, Broncos and Seahawks. I'm looking at the schedule, seeing if any of these Monday Night Football games is intriguing. Okay, Denver and the Chargers, October 17th. That should be a goodie. Rams and Green Bay, December 19th. Saints and Tampa, December 5th. Listen, I don't want the Saints playing Tampa in prime time because it don't look good for Tampa. I mean, let's be real. The Saints are 4-0 against Tom Brady in his 2 years with Tampa. And then the two times he did beat them, well, And two out of the four was in Tampa. I believe one game was, what, 38-3 or 35-3? And then last year, they beat them non-zip. Tampa couldn't even score a field goal. So, in the regular season, it's clear the Saints got Brady number. In the regular season. But yeah, man. Can't wait, man. Can't wait. Cannot wait. I'm definitely intrigued for this NFL season. Thanksgiving, obviously, you know the... Listen, we know the Lions and the Bears and the Cowboys are playing on Thanksgiving. That's every year. It's just a matter of who is going to dance with them. The Lions got Buffalo. Cowboys got the Giants. Division rivalry. And you got the Patriots and the Vikings. Three games. Christmas, you got the Packers and the Dolphins. You got the Broncos and the Rams. And then the primetime game, you got the Buccaneers and the Cardinals. Listen, man, like, some of these games, man, like, it's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting. Definitely. Definitely. And I'm for it. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. There's 13 teams that are tied for primetime games this year. The Broncos, the Steelers, the Niners, the Bengals, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Rams, the Patriots, the Eagles, the Bills, the Packers, the Chargers, and the Bucks. And speaking of the Bucks, man, oh man, oh man. They said, Brady, since you want to come back, we're going to throw the wolves at you the first four games. The first four games. First of all, they opened the first two games on the road. They got the Cowboys and Jerry World to open the season. Then they got the Saints in the Dome. Then they come home. They got Green Bay, September 25th, the day before my big brother's birthday. Shout out to my big brother Wood. And then they got the Chiefs. So those are the first four games of the season for Tampa. I have already said, I've spoken to people. I even spoke to my man Aaron B from Tacos and Touchdowns. I already said that Tampa will open the season 2-2. They will not win all four of these games. I just don't see it. Now, if they do, hallelujah. But I just don't see it. I know one of them losses is going to be the Saints. I know that for a fact. So if I had to guess, I say we beat the Cowboys on 9/11. I say we lose to the Saints the following week. I say we beat the Packers. And then I say on prime time, we lose to the Chiefs. Because not for nothing, Tampa in prime time just don't work very well. Aside from beating the Giants and beating the Patriots when Tom Brady went back, primetime games don't really pan out well for Tampa. Oh yeah, I forgot they beat the Eagles. But they struggled with that. I'll take the win, but they still struggled. So, you know, primetime games is kind of a struggle for Tampa. You know what I mean? But yeah, those are the first four games this season for Tampa. And then their primetime games, obviously, Cowboys, Chiefs. They got the Ravens primetime, prime video, which I have, so I'll definitely be tuned into that. Monday Night Football against the Saints, December 5th, the day after Hov's birthday. And then Christmas against the Cardinals. Those are the five primetime games that the Buccaneers have. So, yeah, man, I'm interested for this season. I'm definitely excited for it. Yeah. I am very much excited for this upcoming season. But listen, it's going to be some changes in the booth, man. It's going to be some changes in the booth. Now, CBS, you know, they got Jim Nance and Tony Romo. That's under lock and key. It's going to be a little different on Fox, though. Ain't going to be Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. They went to ESPN. They went to get their ESPN money. Amazon, Al Michaels, and Kurt Herbstra. So, I'm quite sure Kurt is probably still going to do college football. So, I think he's going to dive and dive into college and pros. Go ahead, Kurt. You're fantastic at it. So, go ahead. Do your thing. NBC got Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth. And Fox has Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady. Did y'all hear that last name? Tom Brady. But that's when he retires. When he finally retires. Because that's the deal that Brady, you know, just made a few days ago. He agreed to be on Fox calling the games when he retires, when he decides to retire. So I don't know who's going to hold that seat for him when he comes. I was hoping it was Gus Johnson, but they haven't really said who's going to warm that seat up for Brady. But right now, we just know Kevin Burkhardt is one of them. Now, we don't know who's going to be, you know, his partner in crime yet, but when Brady retires, he'll be his partner in crime. But as far as right now, we don't know. But yeah, man, I'm very interested to see how this is going to play out. Very well interested. Very well interested. Now, gotta talk about my Yankees. Now, my last episode, I deliberately didn't want to speak about them because I didn't want to bring no bad luck to them, because at that time, they was riding a very respectable winning streak. I think we had either 11 or 13 game winning streak. Very respectable. And right now, my Yankees have the best record in Major League Baseball. The best record. 26-9. We have the best record in Major League Baseball. Now, I have been a guest on plenty podcasts. And I said the same thing before the season started. I had no expectations for us. I even went as far as to say, we're not going to make the playoffs. I said we will have a winning record, but we won't make the playoffs. Now, something tells me that they heard that. I don't know if it was Judge that heard it. I don't know if it was Stanton that heard it. I don't know if it was Anthony Rizzo, because listen, them three guys right now, they're all-stars right now, if you think about it. They're all three in the MVP conversation right now in this young season. Because all three of them got 10 home runs so far this season. So I don't know if they heard what I said and it struck a fire under them. I don't know. But was it reverse psychology by me? Did I deliberately say that? Because I know what the deal is. Listen, I'm very impressed with my Yankees. I'm impressed with the bats, because when the season first started, we was going for the long ball. That's all we cared for. But I think now we're mixing it up, you know, getting runners in scoring position, getting these line drive hits. Again, getting home runs. Like I said, Judge, Stanton, Rizzo, that's 30 home runs between those guys. I'm loving it. I mean, Judge got 12 home runs. Stanton got 10. Rizzo got 10. Judge got a 296 batting average. Stanton got 32 RBIs. As much as I'm talking about the hitting, I'm impressed with this pitching. Gerrit Cole doing his thing. 3-0. Striking motherfuckers out. Cortez doing his thing. 2-1. Severino doing his thing. The bullpen doing their thing. Chapman doing their thing. If it wasn't for this one loss against the White Sox this past weekend, we'll be having another winning streak going on. We would have another winning streak going on if we wouldn't have lost one game this weekend against the Chicago White Sox. So yeah, I'm very much enjoying what I'm seeing from the Yankees, but I'm not getting too excited because, listen, when it comes to the pinstripes, we know what it's about. It's about October. It's not about now. Now, it looks good right now. It looks beautiful right now. It looks sexy right now. But, you know, in October, that's when you want to bust a nut. You know what I'm saying? That's when you want to, you know, carry that World Series championship. That's what it's about. When you put them pinstripes on, it's championship or bust. So right now it's cute. I'm happy. I'm proud of them. You know, with the way we're playing right now with this record, I dog them for not making any moves in the offseason aside from Donaldson. They're making Brian Cashman look like a genius right now for not making any moves. But we shall see. We shall definitely see. And before I go, y'all know I got to do it. Y'all know I got to talk about my girls. Y'all know I got to talk about the WNBA. Listen, the season just started. I think some teams have played 4 games. Some teams have played 2 games. Some teams have played 5 games. So you can't really, it's not really that much to dive on so far. But I will say this. Washington is 3-1. Washington is 3-1. I said they was going to be a sleeper. I know the season just started, but that's a good way to start the season. You know what I'm saying? Minnesota is 0-4. Who would have thought that? Seattle was 1-3. Who would have thought that? Whew. Sky is 2-1. Vegas is 3-1. Becky Hammon is doing a great job out there in Vegas. Yeah, man. I'm intrigued for this WNBA season. Disclaimer, June 12th. Candace Parker is coming to Barclays. And guess who will be in the building? Yours truly. VIP seats, I might add. Listen, I'm just waiting for my jersey to come. I'm just waiting for my jersey to show up. Because you know I ordered it. I even ordered a WNBA hoodie. Black. And the logo was orange. With the snapback. So when I go to my WNBA games, I'm going to rock that. You know what I'm saying? You know, show the ladies some love. You know what I mean? But when Candace come to town, oh no, I got to wear the Candace Parker jersey. So I'm actually waiting for that to be delivered to me. Hopefully, it gets delivered this week. You know what I mean? But there you have it, man. Like, that's pretty much all I got to speak about on this episode. I think I've taken enough time doing this. I mean, it's going on 2:30 in the morning and I cook this episode up for y'all. So when you do hear it, which will be Tuesday, I wanted to put it out before the conference finals starts and the Heat and the Celtics start this series on Tuesday. Well, technically today is Tuesday, so you get what I'm saying. So I wanted to have the episode out before the conference finals start. So there you have it. You know what I'm saying? So listen, I want to thank everybody for their continued support of the podcast. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Y'all know where y'all can find me. I am on all streaming platforms, that podcast except Tidal. Y'all can find me on Instagram, Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. The link is in the bio. My personal page, Dre Day 1985. Twitter, Dre Day 1985. The link is in the bio. You can like my podcast page on Facebook, Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. That's how you can find your boy. You know what I'm saying? So once again, thank everybody for their support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Once again, thank y'all for y'all support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Everyone out there, stay safe. Be safe. Episode 259 is done. It's over. It's complete. Catch you on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here.
What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN Index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com, or call him at 443-810-0384.